Today's daf is Yud Gimel, and we're going to begin with Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav, three lines down from the top. But I suggest that we go back to the Mishnah to review the Mishnah back on daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. I think that would be a proper introduction to our sugya for today. The Mishnah records a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. The issue is, the Torah says that chametz is also for the beginning of the seventh hour, midday ach chilek. But the Rabbanu were afraid of toves, of mistake. Rabbi Meir is afraid of 1 hour's worth of mistake, while Rabbi Yehuda is afraid of 2 hours of a mistake. However, Rabbi Yehuda said that although chametz becomes also bachil at the beginning of the fifth hour, 2 hours earlier than the seventh, but nevertheless, during the sixth hour, he was mekil as far as Isur Hanah. He didn't want to give a total hefsed of Mamon Shel Yisrael, give them another opportunity to at least sell their chametz to a guy or to feed it to a dog. Then the Mishnah records the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel is worried about burning truma. The Torah says, with regard to truma, mishmeres trumasi, which means that we have to be careful and protect truma, and we shouldn't be mafsid truma. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel says, let's give him an extra hour with regard to truma, so that even though with regard to chulin, Rabbi Gamliel accepts the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to have to stop eating achila from the beginning of the fifth hour, but he's going to give you that extra hour, the fifth hour, meaning going from Tchilas Chamesh until Tchilas Sheish, as far as Trumas Chametz is concerned, we're allowed to eat the Chametz during that hour. And that you'll see here in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Rav Gamliel Omer, Chulin Necholim Kol Arba. Chulin can be eaten until the end of the fourth hour, and you're prohibited at the beginning of the fifth hour, like we saw already in Rabbi Yehuda, but Truma Kol Chamesh. With regard to Truma, you're allowed to eat the Truma the entire fifth hour, even though regular chulin you would not be allowed to eat. Now we get to our Gemara for today on the top of Yud Gimel. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to accept the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and that means that during the fifth hour, we're going to prohibit achila, but tolin. We're not going to require you to burn the chametz. We're allowing you to have hanot, to have benefit from the chametz for the fifth hour until the beginning of the sixth. Amale Rav Rav Nachman v'neimamar halacha k'Rabbi Meir. Actually, Rav Nachman says to Rav, wouldn't it make more sense, Rav says to Rav Nachman, wouldn't it make more sense that Rav would have accepted the halacha like Rabbi Meir? The sasam lon tana kavose, because we're going to quote now a Mishnah later on in the second parak, and the Mishnah seems to be a stab Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, reflecting the shita of Rabbi Meir, that you're allowed to eat chametz during the fifth hour. Disnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, kol shoshe mutar lechol machil. Any hour that you're allowed to eat chametz, you're allowed to feed your chametz to your animal. In other words, it seems that there's no differentiation here, according to this Mishnah, between the Isra Achil and the Isra No. It's either Osir Bachila, and therefore ipso facto, it's Osir Bano, you can't feed it to your dog. Or it's Mutar Bachila, not only to feed it to your dog, but for human consumption as well. And clearly, this Mishnah, therefore, reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir, rejecting the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda would not accept that principle, like Kol Shoshe Mutar Lechol Machil. That's not true. It's not true that whenever you have a heter to feed your dog, you also, if so facto, have a heter to eat the chametz yourself. That's not true, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the fifth hour, it's a shoshe machil, but it's not shoshe mutar lechol. You're not allowed to eat it during the fifth hour. You only have to feed it to your dog. So therefore, since we have a Stam Mishnah that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir, making no distinction between the Isra Achil and the Isra Anoah, we should therefore adopt a halacha like Rabbi Meir. That was the question that Rava, the objection he raised to Rav Nachman in the name of Rav. So Rav Nachman responds, Hahi lav stomahu. That Mishnah, if we read it carefully, is not a Stam Mishnah that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Why? Mishum de kasha mutar. there's a problem here with the language of the Mishnah, if we assume that this Mishnah, at the beginning of the second parak, reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah should have said, Kol shosha ochel machil. Whenever you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to feed it to your dog. The language mutar lechol, as the Mishnah formulates it, seems to indicate that it's mutar for one person, and yet it's aser for another person. In other words, kol shosha mutar li adam acher lechol, mutar li adam zesha aser ba'achila la'achila behemto. The Mishnah is telling you, kol shosha mutar lechol, when there's someone there who can eat chametz, machil, then someone else who's not allowed to eat chametz is allowed to be machil chametz. He's allowed to feed chametz to his dog. And that would mean that the Mishnah at the beginning of the second perek is actually reflecting not the Shita of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir never makes any distinction between one person and the other to say that one person's allowed to eat chametz, the other person is not. But rather, the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel is going to talk about one piece of chametz that would be also to so-and-so, and another piece of chametz is mutter to so-and-so, all at the same time. And that's a reference to Trumas Chametz, because Trumas Chametz, although a regular chametz of Chulin would be asur at that hour, let's talk about the fifth hour, and Rabbi Gamliel, as we said, accepts the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that chametz is also bachil in the fifth hour, but yet, although to him, he's not a Kohen, he's not allowed to eat chametz in the fifth hour, but a Kohen would be allowed to eat chametz in the fifth hour. And that is indeed the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel. As we said before, Rabbi Gamliel is very inhibited about burning chametz. We don't want to destroy chametz. The Torah says we have to protect chametz. To be ma'abed chametz, to destroy chametz, is something that the Torah is absolutely opposed to. So therefore, give an extra hour, that fifth hour, for the Kohanim to eat trumas chametz. And the Mishnah at the beginning of the second perek, kol shosha mutal lechol machil, is telling you that since it's a shosha mutal lekohen lechol trumas chametz, which means the fifth hour, machil, you, the non-kohen, who are feeding, are allowed to feed chulin of chametz to your dog. So the Gemara therefore turns around and says, v'neim amar halacha kiram gamliel. At this point, Rava asks Rav Nachman, if Rav Nachman, you're defending Rav, who passes like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak is against Rabbi Meir, but rather reflects the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel, so why don't you paskin sta halacha kista Mishnah, except the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel? So the Gemara answers, and the Gemara strengthens that question. Rava adds a very important principle to compel us almost to accept the Shita and paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. Dahavile machria. Machria means when you have a machlokes between two Tanoim or Amoroim, and then a third Tana comes along with a compromise sheet, and then we always paskin like the machria. The machria is the compromise sheet. The Gemara now insists that Rav Gamliel is the compromise sheet. He's the machria. Why? Because Rabbi Meir said you're allowed to eat chametz during the fifth hour. Rabbi Yehuda said you're not allowed to eat chametz during the fifth hour. To some extent, Rabbi Gamliel accepts the Shita Rabbi Meir, except he limits that heter in the fifth hour to truma, the chametz that's truma. So what Rabbi Meir said about chametz of chulin, which is mutter during the fifth hour, Rabbi Gamliel didn't go that far. He wouldn't accept the entire hook, line, and seat of the kula of Rabbi Meir to allow chametz to be eaten during the fifth hour. But he did accept Rabbi Meir as far as trumas chametz is concerned, allowing the Kohen during the fifth hour to eat Trumas Chametz. On the other hand, he accepted Rabbi Yehuda's Shita that as far as Chulin for a non-Kohen is concerned, we are enjoined from eating Chametz during the fifth hour. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir. So therefore, it seems that Rabbi Gamliel was the third Shita, compromise Shita. He took Rabbi Meir's shita to some extent, but applied it to Trumas Chametz to be Matar Achilas Trumas Chametz during the fifth hour. He took Rabbi Yehuda's shita as far as Chulin is concerned, and he said that Chulin during the fifth hour is prohibited. And we have a principle, halacha, kedivrei hamachriya. Amalei, so Rav Nachman responds to Rava, Rav Gamliel lav machriyahu, but taima did nafshe ka'amar. Rav Gamliel had no intention to make a compromise shita between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. He's not a third party here, kosav ashlishi ayachriya b'neihem. Rather, he is expressing his own personal opinion. Because if Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda would have made some sort of hint, some sort of indication that there might be a difference between Chulin and Truma, for example, if Rabbi Meir would have said that during the fifth hour, Mutal Lechol Bein Truma Ubein Chulin, even Chulin, or Rabbi Yehuda would have said that during the fifth hour, Asur Lechol Bein Chulin Vafilu Truma, then you would see that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are sensitive, are aware of the fact that maybe we could have had a Hava Mina Svara to be Mechaik, to differentiate between Truma and Chulin. But it's not so. They had no clue that Truma would have a different status as far as Chametz is concerned than Chulin. The Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is whether a person will make a mistake of 2 hours. Whereas Rabbi Meir said you could make a mistake between the sixth and the seventh, but you would never make a mistake between the fifth and the seventh. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, there's a possibility of a mistake between the fifth and the seventh. But that would apply both to Chametz of Chulin and Chametz of Truma. But rather, Rav Gamliel comes with his own Svara. He invents a brand new Svara that Truma's Chametz is in a separate category and has to be taken out of the general bag of Chametz. And Truma's Chametz, because we have to be very inhibited about destroying it, it has its own dinim, and it works by its own, you know, beats to its own drum tune, as we would say. And therefore, during the fifth hour, according to Rav Gamliel, you're allowed, a kohen is allowed to eat Truma's Chametz. Ibais Ema, the Gemara now wants to explain why Rav Paskin like Rav Yehuda. Rav Diomaki Haitana. Rav Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda based on the Tana in the following Brisa that seems to be a Stam Brisa that Paskin's like Rabbi Yehuda. The Sanya we learned in a Brisa, our boss or Shechalios B'Shabbos, when Erev Pesach falls on a Shabbos. So now the problem is that on Yudalit B'Nisan Erev Pesach we normally destroy our Chametz, we have a mitzvah Bir Chametz, but now it's Shabbos. So how are we going to destroy our Chametz on Shabbos? But rather, Mavarnas HaKol Milifnei Shabbos. On the 13th of Nisan, on Friday the 13th, we will destroy our Chametz. However, when it comes to Truma, Sarfin Trumos, meaning Trumas Chametz, Tmeos, Tluyos, Utahoros, we will destroy on Erev Shabbos, meaning on the 13th of Nisan, all at Trumos. He has three categories of Trumos here that are all included in the same din. Number one, he's got Trumos Tmeos. Number two, he has Tluyos. Tluyos means Sofek Tmeos. And number three, he has Tahoros. All of these will be destroyed on the 13th of Nisan, together with the Trumas Chulin. However, Mishairin min haTahoros Mazon Shtei Seudos. However, with regard to the Trumas Chametz, we're going to set aside, for the sake of the Kohen, 2 meals worth of Trumas Chametz, so that he can eat 2 meals on Shabbos. And here I want to add that we have a very important Tosfos, Divrei Maskil V'Sarfin, and he says that even though we might argue that just like it's also to be metame truma tahor min haTorah, it says mishmeres trumosa, we're not allowed to be metame, it's also also to burn truma. But nevertheless, before Pesach, there's no isa to burn truma. Why? Because sofoli aser v'leches le'ibud, you're allowed to burn truma when that truma is going to be destroyed. So once we get to Trumas Chametz, and we're coming to the Zman Isur Chametz, we have to, and we're allowed, and we have to burn the Trumas Chametz. Now here we have Rabbeinu Peretz, who raises the question as to why it says here shalosh sudo. It says here shtei sudos. He's saving mazon for two sudos. Well, Shabbos requires three sudos. We know that, shalosh sudos. And he offers two answers. One answer is that it's impossible to eat shalosh sudos on a Shabbos that's Erev Pesach, because we cannot be koveh suda in the afternoon after Chatzos Hayom on Chametz, because Chametz is also in Torah from Chatzos on Erev Pesach. And Rabbeinu Peretz adds that he wants to derive from this a very important conclusion, and that is that you cannot be Yotzei Shalosh Sudos, the third suda, by eating two sudos in the morning. And therefore, since you have to eat the third suda in the afternoon, not in the morning hours, and it's impossible on Erev Pesach, therefore, the maximum you could do on Erev Pesach, Chalios B'Shabbos, is to eat two sudos. So we're going to leave over two sudos. Kedei Lechol. Now, up until what point are we going to be able and allowed to eat this Trumas Chametz on the 14th of Nisan, which is, in this case, Shabbos? So on the 13th, we destroyed everything, but we left over these two sudos worth of chametz. And the Brisa says, "Al arba shaos, divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, ish bar tosa, shomer mishum Rabbi Yoshua." So we have now a tradition in a Brisa that we paskin that the latest time for eating chametz on the 14th of Nisan is the fourth hour, meaning the end of the fourth hour, the beginning of the fifth hour. Chametz becomes osur, and that reflects the shita Rabbi Yehuda. Amru lo, Chachamim said to Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, Tahoros lo yisarfu. You're telling me that all the truma is going to be burnt on the 13th on Erev Shabbos, except for Mazon Shtei Sudos. I object. I don't believe that you can take truma tahora and you'd be allowed to burn it on the 13th. You better leave over all your truma tahora until the 14th, to the very last minute. And why is that so? Because Shema Yimtzu Lehem Ochlin. Maybe there'll be other Kohanim, and you can invite them to your Shabbos table, and they will eat the Truma, which is Truma Tahora, that you left over, and you didn't destroy it. Don't destroy it on the 13th, when there's a possibility that you might be able to be Mekayim the great mitzvah Achilas Truma on the 14th. Amar Lehem, so Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda responds to the Chachamim's argument, Kfar Bikshu. We're talking about a case where the owner of the Trumas Chametz looked and he sent out a message, you know, over all the, you know, the social media. And he said, who's around to eat Truma? Please come and join. V'lo Matzu. Nobody showed up. It seems that everyone was Misudar. Everybody had their own food and there were no Kohanim who needed the Truma. Amru lo, the Chacham respond, but Shema Michutz L'chom Alonu. Maybe you didn't get the word out to those who are right there at the outskirts of the city, and there are Kohanim there who are maybe staying over in an inn that's called Lina. And in that hotel, they ran out of Trumas Chametz, and therefore these Kohanim, if they're inside the Trum of Shabbos, of course, they will come and show up at your table and ask you if they can partake and eat the Trumas Chametz. Amalehem, so Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda says, L'divrechem, according to your logic, is why are you objecting to Truma Tahora? Is af tluyos lo yisarfu. Don't burn even Truma shel Suffolk. Why? Shema yavo Elio. Elio is going to come today or tomorrow. He'll tell us about the Geula. He'll be poshet all the sfakas. And maybe he'll tell us that that Truma is Truma Tahora. You thought it was Tmeya, but there was no sheretz that fell on the Truma. Via Tarim, it'll declare that it's Tar. So why are you destroying the Truma on Erev Shabbos? Maybe today on Erev Shabbos, on the 13th of Nisan, lo and behold, the Mavasar HaGeula, Elio HaNovi himself will show up. Amru lo, the Chacham said, Kvar muvtoch lem l'Yisrael, she'en Elio ba, lo b'arvi Shabbos, lo b'arvi Yom Tov, mipnei HaTorah. On Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, the Jewish people are so preoccupied with preparing everything they need to eat on Shabbos and Yontif. So Eliyahu is not going to come because they'll be so torrid when Eliyahu comes, you know, to Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Navi, that they won't be able to give due time and focus on Hachana L'Shabbos L'Yontif. So therefore, we have a brisa now that indicates that we paskin that the last time for eating chametz is the end of the fourth hour, reflecting the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, we have ample support for Rav's conclusion that we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Omer, lo zozo misham ha-shakovu ha-locha ki-rabalozo Rabbi Yehuda ish-bar tosa, shomer mishum Rabbi Yeshua, that we will allow leaving over mazon shtei sudos for Shabbos, and other than that, we will destroy all the chametz, including Trumas chametz, on Erev Shabbos, which is on the 13th of Nisan. So the Gemara now says, my love, afilu lecho, when we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, right, Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, it seems like we took his shita, hook, line, and sinker, everything that he said. Not only that we should leave over Mazon Shtei Sudas for Sudas Shabbos, even though they're chametz, but in addition, that we will allow for the eating of that chametz up until but not beyond the end of the fourth hour. So therefore, when we paskin halach like Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, ish partusa, we meant to accept the shita even as far as the last time, the cutoff point for eating chametz, which means like Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rav Papa Shmei the Ravalo, Levayer. We accepted the halacha like Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, but not as far as when is the last time we could eat chametz. That wasn't the issue. That's a different issue and a different machlokas. We only accepted his position as far as truma, that we should, if there's extra truma, there's a surplus of truma, we should designate, even though it's chametz, we should leave it over and not destroy it, but designate it for two sudos on Shabbos. All the other truma we should destroy on Erev Shabbos. That's what we accepted from Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda. Therefore, there's no proof that we actually, la'alocha, accepted the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that mishnah that chametz becomes osur mitchilas Chamesh. The Gemara wants to now prove that Rebbe paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. The Af Rebbe, Savala, knows until now we were quoting Rav. Now we're going back to Rebbe. And he also paskins Lehadi Omar of Nachman, that Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. The Omar of Inbar Rav Adam. My Sebi Adam Echad Shehifkid Diskaya. Diskaya is a sack, a full sack. Molea chametz etzel Yochanan chakoka. Now, what does chakoka mean? There are a couple of possibilities. One possibility is Rashi said that was a kinui, that was his name, it was an acronym. Rabbi Nachanal learns that chakoka means he was a mechoki, he was a sofer, he was a scribe. And Tosus assumes that there was a city called Chakuka, and in fact that city is mentioned in Sefer Yoshua. In any event, there's a Mafkid and a Shomer. The Mafkid is someone anonymous by the name of Adam Echad, and the Shomer is this Yochanan Chakuka. And Yochanan Chakuka is now responsible to protect and guard a very large sack of chametz. But what happened? Nekvuach Barim. So the mice got a hold of this sack, and they started chewing away at it. Vayachametz mevatzpeis v'yotze, and masses amount of chametz were coming out of this sack. And he knew that they would be completely consumed by the akbarim. And now the question is, should he, the shomer, Yochanan, go out and sell the chametz to a guy before the zman iser chametz? So ba, Yochanan comes, Lifnei Rebbe, Shor Rishona, the first hour of Erev Pesach, in other words, with daybreak, and he says, should I sell the chametz to a guy so that now I have the money and the mafkid will not lose the value of the chametz? In other words, if I keep and hold on to the chametz without selling it, it's going to be valueless. Amalo, Rebbe said, Hamtein, let's wait a little longer. Don't sell it so impetuously, so early. Maybe the Bailim will show up and they'll want to eat the chametz. Shnia, Amalo Hamtein. Shlishis, Amalo Hamtein. Revius, Amalo Hamtein. Chamishis, once it got to the fifth hour on Erev Pesach, Amalo, Rebbe said to him, Sei umochra bashuk. Go out and salvage whatever you can. Do damage control. Sell whatever chametz is left. because chametz is still mutar ba'anah. You're allowed to sell it to a guy, even though it's the fifth hour. You're not allowed to eat it, but you're allowed to sell it. My love, l'nochrim kiram Yehuda. It would seem that Rebbe is saying, go out in the fifth hour, sell it to a guy. And that reflects the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, that although a Yisrael is not allowed to eat the chametz, so he won't be able to sell it to Yisrael, Yisrael's not going to pay a price for something that he can't eat. Sell it to a guy and get full price for it. Because even though it's the fifth hour and a Yisrael is not allowed to eat this chametz, but a guy, it's mutabah noah to sell your chametz to a guy. So here we see clearly that Rebbe accepted the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, once again, that chametz is also b'achila during the fifth hour, but it's mutabah noah, you're allowed to sell it to a guy. Amar Rav Yosef, lo. No, Rebbe didn't say sell it to a guy. Li Yisrael, look Rabbi Meir. Maybe Rebbe was passing like Rabbi Meir, and for the course of the fifth hour, from the beginning of the fifth to the beginning of the sixth, chametz, according to Rabbi Meir, is mutabah chila, sell it to a guy, a Yisrael, and Yisrael will pay a good amount of money for chametz that he's allowed to eat. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, E li Yisrael, if you're telling me that Yochanan could have sold it to a Jew during the fifth hour, possibly like Rabbi Meir, is Nishkale Linafshe? Why did Rebbe tell him go out and sell it? That's a hassle to go out to Machin an hour before Erev Pesach, right? An hour before the Yisur Chametz, you're going around selling Chametz in the street. I mean, you have more important things to do. Maybe you should iron your kittel, maybe you should go to the mikvah, maybe you should be destroying your Chametz. Why would Rebbe impose upon Yochanan the responsibility as a shomer to sell the chametz on the open market? Why not just take it for himself, eat it, put down the money, and that money will be returned in lieu of the chametz to the mafkid, to the owner of the chametz? And the Gemara answers, this is Rabbi Yosef's answer to Rabbi, Mishum Chashoda. People would suspect that maybe he's not giving the fair price because he has vested interest. You know, now he, Yochanan Chakokah, the shomer, is now putting down money to take the chametz for himself. You know, people suspect, you know, he's playing some hanky-panky. He's giving him a low price. Desanyan, we have a brisa that reflects this with regard to Gaboy Tztoka. Gaboy Tztoka, Shein Lemanim Lechalik. In those days, they had what's called prutos nechoshos. They were prutos that were made out of a certain metal that would get ruined with the course of time. Copper coins. And what happened is, let's say Reuven was mafkid his copper coins in the hands of Shimon. Or in a case where, let's say, the Gaboy Tztoka collected copper coins to be given out and divvied amongst the Aniyim, that was their responsibility. But the coins, with the passage of time, are getting ruined. They're getting chaluda, what's it called? They're getting rusty, and they lose their value. That's copper coins that are rusty, lose their value. So what should the Gaboy Tztoka do to protect this community chest, this money that's designated, earmarked for the Aniyim, for the poor people? Parton le'acherim. He should do an exchange, you know, go to the money changer and change that money to get money coins that are made out of kesef, of silver, that won't get ruined. Obviously, you have to put out a whole bag full of nechoshes coins in order to get one silver coin, but that's in the benefit of the aniyim. However, the brisa says, ein partin li atzmon. The gabbai should not do this with his own money. Put down, you know, a silver coin and take the copper coins. Gaboy tamchui shein lemanim lechalik mochrim lachem vein mochrim liatzman. Tamchui is the community chest. I'm sorry. Tamchui is the community kitchen, and that's where they divvied out food to the aniyim. And now the food is getting ruined, it's getting spoiled, and there are no aniyim around at this point. So to protect the aniyim, we should be selling the food before it spoils and it's worthless. But the gabbai should not buy it himself. And all this is because Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Bamidbar Lamidbeis, Vayisem Nekiyam Hashem Yisrael. A person should always make himself naki, that no one should be choshed him, no one should suspect him. And here, if he buys the prutos shel nechoshes, or the food, people are going to suspect that he's underpaying. Amalei Rav Ado Bar Masnel Rav Yosef, Beferish Amartalon. You see, Rav Yosef suffered from amnesia, so very often the Talmidim had to remind him what he once said and he had forgotten. Say umochram linochrim kirab Yehuda. That when Rebbe said, instructed Yochanan Chakukah to sell it, to sell this chametz at the fourth hour, at the end of the fourth hour, he meant to sell it to a guy, because you can't sell it to a Jew. A Jew is not going to buy it. It's asur bachil at the beginning of the fifth hour, like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Yosef, keman az lahosh maitato de Rebbe. This sugya, this story of Rebbe, that Rebbe told him to sell the chametz that was mufkad biyado on the open market, that reflects one shita in a machlokes that is codified in a Mishnah in Masechta Bava Metzia. And that is the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Snan, we learned in the Mishnah, Mafkid Peres Eitzel Chavero, Afilu Heim Avudim Lo Yigabahem. According to the Tanakhama, even though the fruits that are Mufkad Biyodcha, that have been given into your hands as a to safeguard them, even if they're getting ruined, nevertheless, you should not sell them. That's the Shita Tanakhava. We'll try to explain that Shita in just a minute. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer Mochran, BeBezdin. It's going to be sold out in the market after a Shuma of BeZdin. BeZdin is going to evaluate what is its market price. Mipnei HaShavas Aveda. This is a great mitzvah, HaShavas Aveda, because if he doesn't sell and get some money for these fruits that are getting spoiled, they're going to be worthless, and the mafkid is going to lose his money. And whenever you can save someone for loss of money, that's a great mitzvah, HaShavas Aveda. Why does the Tanakhama oppose this? So the Gemara Bava Metzia offers two explanations. According to Rav Kahana, he has a principle, Adam Rotze Bekav Shalo Yosem Mikavim Mitesha Kavim Shal Chaver. In other words, the Mafkid doesn't want anyone to sell it. He wants his. He worked very hard. It's a product of his labor. We don't want to alienate himself from the product of his labor. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Mishum Sheish Lachshosh Shema Osa Mafkid Peres Elu Truma Al Peres Acher. That it's possible that he used this as truma, and therefore it has the status of truma. We're not allowed to sell truma. But Rav Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, is not impressed by any of those logical reasons, and therefore he says it's a great mitzvah to sell these fruits on the open market in order to do damage control on behalf of the mafkid and save himself from a great loss. So Rebbe, who instructed Yochanan Chakkah to sell the peros of the mafkid, because he, Yochanan, was the shomer, that reflects the shita of Shimon ben Gamliel. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Alav Itmar Allah, didn't we have an explanation with regard to that Mishnah in Bav Mitzia, in which the Tanakhama was inhibited about selling the peros of the mafkid, and we had the statement of Omer Abba, Bar Bar Chana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ella. When did the Chacham disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel, and they say don't sell it? Here we turn to Daf Yud Gimel and Beis. That's only b'chdei chisrona. If the peros are deteriorating and spoiling at a normal rate, like for example, the Gemara says about chitin and orez, the shear is tisha chatzoi kabim lakur, or for the oren and dochan, it's tisha kabim lakur. And Kusman, Zerapishtad, Shlosha, Son, Likur. So the Mishnah goes through all the different Shi'urim of Kedei Chisronam, how much would get ruined during the course of a year. Avol Yosem Kedei Chisronam, if there's a process of spoilage and deterioration that is very rapid, then Mochum Bebezdin, even according to the Tanakhama of Rav Shimon Gamliel, we sell him in Bezdin. It's called Chain Hacha. And how much more so here on Erev Pesach. It's about to become chametz, that's also b'chilu b'anoah. Certainly it'll be worthless for the owner of the chametz. Then even the Chacham would agree and instruct Yochanan Chakukah, sell the chametz. Now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah, after Rabbi Yehuda formulates his statement, his position, that chametz is also machila, at the beginning of the fifth hour, then Rabbi Yehuda adds a minog b'Yisrael. There was a certain custom in Israel that reflected that position. And what is that? Shtei chalos. These are what we call chalos of a karban toda, which we'll talk about in just a minute, were placed on an itztaba in the Har HaBayis. Now, the itztaba was like a little bit of a pillar, a low pillar, you know, that was square in shape, and people would sit there, and it was almost like a gathering place on the Har HaBayis. It was almost like a bench. And people would gather together there, and they would talk about the karbanos that they were going to bring, and about the Beis HaMikdash, and so forth and so on. Now, Rabbi Yehuda said that the minhag was to take two chalos of todah and set them up on this itztaba in a very public place. And if both of these chalos were there, then the people would understand, this was a siman, that it was mutter to eat chametz. And when one of the chalos was removed, and there was only one challah left, the people understood the siman, the message was that they have to stop eating chametz, but they're allowed to sell chametz and benefit from chametz. And that's during the fifth hour. When we get to the sixth hour, then they took away the second of the two lachmei todah, and that indicated that it's time to get rid of your chametz, it's time to destroy your chametz. Tani Tana Kamei de Rav Yehuda. There's an Amora who used to teach Mishnayos, and he did it in front of Rav Yehuda. And he pointed out Al Gavra Itztava, that we should add to the Mishnah that it's Al Gavra Itztava. What does that mean, Gavra Itztava? There are two parts to it in Itztava. The itztaba apparently was a line of these low pillars, so to speak, columns, you know, small columns that they sat on. But because of the heat of the sun or the rain that came down, and they still wanted to encourage people to be mitkabets, to get together and sit comfortably on the itztabas, what they did was they built a gag, a roof, that would cover over the itztaba. So this braisa says, Al gavha itztaba, that Rabbi Yehuda was quoted as saying that they put the lachmei todah al gavha itztaba. Gav means on the place that you sit, those columns. That's called al gavha itztaba. No. He said, no, v'chilatz nianutzach. What is he hiding this? If you want to hide something, you put it on a low bench. But rather, if the purpose was that these lachmei todah should be seen from afar, and it should serve as a siman, as a kind of a flag to notify the people, is then tni, you should change the girsa, and it should say al-gav, al-gag ha-itztaba. Not gav with a beis, but gag with a second gimel. And on top of the itztaba, there was a gag, which would protect them from the rains. And that's where they put it, so that people could see it from afar. Amar Rachva, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Harabayis, Stav, Kofel Hoya. Not only was there one row of itztabos on the Harabayis, but there was one and another one. There was a second row as you got further into the Har HaBayis. So there's one on the outside, so to speak, and there's one bifnim on the inside. Tanya Nami Hochi, Har HaBayis, Stav, Kofel Hoya. There were two rows of itztabos. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it's Tivonis Hoysa Nikre. So it wasn't called a stav, but rather it was called an istivonis. I assume these are Greek words. Ustav lifnimi stav. And there was one row and there was another row behind it. So it was what we call a stav kafel. It was a double stav, a double row of itzdavos. Okay, now the Mishnah says that these two chalos of Todah that were designated as a simon and placed on the gag of the itzdavah were psulos. In other words, when you bring a carbon Todah, the carbon Todah has to be accompanied by 40 lechamim. There are four different categories or minim, species of breads, types of breads. Each one had 10, and all told, 4 times 10 is 40. And the lachmei Todah that we used on the itzdavos on Erev Pesach were psulos. So the Gemara says, amai psulos. Why and how did they become disqualified? Now we can use them just for our purposes of a simon. Reb Chanina says, mitoch she hayu mirubos nifsolos belina. Let's explain. There's a problem on Erev Pesach with bringing lachmei Todah. What's the problem? We have a principle which is called Ein Mevi'im Kodshim LeBeis HaPsul. Let me explain. Kodshim always have an allotted time after which you're no longer allowed to eat the Kodshim. If you're going to bring Kodshim in such a way that they won't be able to be eaten before within that allotted time, then you're causing them to the Beis HaPsul. They're going to become posel with what's called lina. Lina means when kodshim are left beyond their allotted time, and then they have to be destroyed. So you're not allowed to in any way cause such a scenario, such a situation to come about. Now, on the 14th of Nisan, which is Erev Pesach, chametz becomes osur midday. And if the people would bring a carbon Todah, which has to be accompanied by 40 lechamim, one of the four categories of minim of the lachmei Todah, which is made up of 10, is chametz. And now, it's Erev Pesach, and there's a very large, or shall we say significant, statistical probability that they won't be able to eat all these lachmei Todah, which each Todah brings 10 lachamim that are chametz on Erev Pesach before Shas Yisuro. And not only that, although Daraisa you're allowed to eat chametz until the beginning of the seventh hour, but Mirabbanan you have to stop eating chametz. And we said if we pass like review the beginning of the fifth hour, that's already 2 hours early. That's already 10 a.m. in the morning until the carbon is brought and the Todah is brought and the Karakrava and so forth. And also you're not allowed to eat the lachmei Todah until after the Shechita and the Zrika. So there's going to be a whole delay, and therefore we're afraid that you're being makdim these lechamim to the Beis HaPsul. You're being mevi kodshim le Beis HaPsul. So therefore on the 14th of Nisan, there were no lachmei Todah. They didn't bring a carbon Todah on the 14th of Nisan. Now, as a result, there was an overflow of lachmei Todah, of Todah, on the 13th of Nisan. And on the 13th of Nisan, because there were so many people who were rushing to bring the Todah, it like reminds me, I'm just al derech habdichusa, not far from here, I can see it almost outside of the window, is a mountain called Har HaMenuchos. You've probably heard of it. I have a lot of relatives who live there full-time, including my parents. Anyway, so on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there's a minog not to visit during the month of Nisan, a Beis HaKvaros. Yeah, I'm not telling you that you have to observe that minog, but that's a very widespread minog, especially here in Yerushalayim. So if you try to drive from here, Har Nof, to Har HaMenuchos, on Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, forget it. There's a shayara of cars. The whole of Yerushalayim is going out to the cemetery on Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So what happens is, on Yud Gimel of Nisan, there's a lineup of people who are bringing lachmei Todah. And as a result, since there are merubos, merubos means there's a vast volume of lachmi toda out there on the 13th of Nisan, is nifsolos belina. Very often, unfortunately, they couldn't finish eating and consuming kidasu, kidin, kemitzvasa, all the lachmi toda on the 13th of Nisan, and much of these lachamim of the lachmi toda were left over till the 14th of Nisan. Well, toda is a very interesting karban, because although shlomim can be eaten usually for a day, the following night, and the next day, shnei yom v'layla echas, but toda has almost the status of kodshei kodshim in that respect, and it can only be eaten during the day of the hakrav of the toda and the night that follows. So the lachmei toda become posel belina on the very next morning, which in this case is on the 14th of Nisan. So on the 14th of Nisan, unfortunately, there were a lot of lachmei toda that was psulos because of lina that were left over until the 14th, and they were available for the simon and putting on the itztabos. The sanya we learned in the brisa ein mevi'im toda b'chaga matzos mipnei chamei shabbos. So lachmei toda is excluded on Pesach, because since the toda had to be accompanied by 40 lechamim, 40 chalos, and 10 out of those chalos were actually chamei, so we can't bring lachmei toda on Pesach. Now the other three categories are chalos, rekikim, and revucha. Again, if we were learning Masechta Menachos, we'd have to go through each one of these categories. But in any event, there are 10 chalos of chametz, and that can't be brought on Pesach. So the Gemara says, Pshita, why did the Braisa have to tell me that you can't bring lachmei toda on Pesach because of the chametz, which is prohibited on Pesach? Omer Rav Ada Bar Ava, we made a mistake. When it says Ein Mevi'im Toda V'Chaga Matzos, it doesn't mean on Pesach. That goes without saying. But rather, B'Arbas Araskinon. On the 14th of Nisan, we're not going to allow Lachmei Toda, or Korban Toda with its accompanied Lachamim. And the reason for that is because Sovar Ein Mevi'im Kodshim Lebeis Hapsul. Because you're not allowed to cause Kodshim to be possible. And now, we're afraid that since you have such a limited of time on Erev Pesach on the 14th to eat the lachmei toda, the 10 lachamim that are chametz, then you're inadvertently going to cause kodshin lebeis hapsul, that these 10 lachamim, or at least one of them, will become lina, will become possible lina, and we'll have to take it out and burn it. And the Gemara says, kuli alma b'shloshas or maisilu, as a result, the whole velt, kuli alma, anyone who's obligated to carbon toda, right? There are four categories of people who are obligated to carbon toda. So, Mr. Shem, we hope that my mother-in-law will join us here in Eretz Yisrael soon, so she'll have to bring a carbon toda, because Yardei Ayam have to bring a carbon toda. In any event, there's a massive amount of people and a massive amount of volume of lechamim, of chalos, that are chametz, that are coming on the 13th of Nisan. And what's going to happen is, hein merubos, umitosh hein merubos, nifsolos belina, since we won't be able to eat them on time, meaning on the 13th, because there's such a mass volume of lachmei toda. As a result, we're going to have available chalos psulos, and they would be used on top of the itzba, on the gag of the itzba, on Erev Pesach, after Zmani Suro, and that's not called Hefseid Kodshim, because these are already possible. Now, Ad Kana Kofal, from now on we have Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai has a whole different approach to understand these lachmei toda that are being used as the flagship, as the flag waving on top of the gag of itzba. Bishum Rabbi Yanai Amru Ksheros Hoya. These chalos themselves were ksheros. There's no psul of lina here, which would, you know, force us to burn these lachamim, these lachmei toda. Elamaya kari lahu psulos. So why does the Mishnah categorize them as psulos? Shlo nishchat aleihem hazevah. What happened was, they designated these lachamim for a carbon toda, but they never shechted the animal, the carbon toda itself. And as a result, the lachmi toda become asuros bachila. In other words, in order to permit eating lachmi toda, which have the status of hegdish, we need shchita. You need, number one, that the karban b'shechta. Number two, you need zrikas hadam. And only after both A and B, shchita, which culminates in zrik, only then are you allowed to eat the lachmi toda. They took these lachamim, and it was before they could manage to shecht the karban tamid. They put them on the itzdaba. And that's not called hefseid kodshim, because there was never a heter achila vis-a-vis these lachmei toda, because the shechita did not occur. So the Gemara says, v'nishchot. I don't get it. It's the 13th of Nisan. Why not shecht the karban toda v'matir the lechamim for achila on the 13th? And the Gemara answers, this is a whole new curveball that Rav Yanai is throwing into the equation here. She'avad ha-zevach. That although they designated the lachmi toda, they were about to shech the karban toda, and all of a sudden, that little shepsel got lost. They couldn't find the karban. Avad ha-zevach. Now, for avad ha-zevach, what's the status of lachmi toda if there was no shechita and there's no possibility of shechita? The zevach is lost. And the answer is, it has a middle of the road status. And what does that mean? The status is that it's not kedushas haguf, but rather it's kedushas damim. And this, my friends, is an hour-long discussion, at least, as an introduction and overview of kodshim. What's the difference between kodshim of kedushas haguf and kodshim of kedushas damim? But for our purposes, just to oversimplify something that's very deep and very complex, we're going to say the following. Kedushas haguf is something that can be brought on the mizbeach, and it can never be subject to pidyon. You cannot redeem it and remove its kedusha. It penetrates into the very fiber of the zevach, of the animal. Kedushas damim is something that is not brought on the mizbeach. For example, if I say that this table should be hegdesh, and that lends itself to pidyon, I can transfer the kedusha onto damim. The status of lachmei toda, in the case where the zevach was lost and there's no possibility of shechita, is that it's not yet included in kedushas haguf, because the shechita will generate kedushas haguf, but it has kedushas damim. It's like every hegdesh that I was magdish and I gave it to hegdesh. So it lends itself to pidyon. So the Gemara first asks the following question. There'll be two questions. Question number one is, v'naisei, why don't we bring on the 13th of Nisan, zevach, acher, v'nishchot? Are we allowed, in a case where he designated these lachmei toda for this particular toda, this karban, if the karban is lost, to shift over these lachamim to a different karban, shecht a different karban to be mata these lachamim? The Omar, and the Gemara answers, he can't do that. Why not? Because when he designated these lachamim, he said, zu litoda, meaning this animal should be the karban toda, vizu, and these chalos should be lachama, should be the lachamim of this toda. Kidder Rabba, the Omar Rabba, ovar alechem mevi lechem acher, if the lachamim are completely lost, you can replace them. But of the toda, if the carbon itself is lost, ein mevi toda acheres. You cannot replace, or shall I say, you cannot shift these lechavim that belong to toda X and link them and connect them with toda Y. My timer. And the reason for this is because lechem glal toda, v'ein toda glal lechem. That the lechem is an accompaniment of the toda, and its entire status is connected to the karban. The lechem have no independent status on their own, and therefore when you imagdish these lechemim for this zevach, these lechemim gain and are upgraded to the status of kedusha. As a result of this particular zevach, they are inextricably connected to this particular zevach. But toda is not beglal lechem. The toda stands on its own and will add lechem. If you can't add this lechem, so grab other lechem. So the Gemara now asks its second question. V'nifrkinu v'nafkinu lechulin. why don't we just take these lechamim? There was no possibility of shechita. It has a kedushas damim, and we should be poded. It doesn't have kedushas aguf because there was no shechita. So the Gemara now backtracks, and the Gemara says, "Elali olam shenishchad aleihem hazevach." Let's go back to the drawing board. There was a shechita of the carbon tamim, but what happened? The nishpach hadam after the shechita. And before the Zrikas Hadam, in between time T1 of Shechita and time T2 of Zrika, the Dam spilled on the floor. And although the Ritzvah Hazara has a certain Kedusha to it, but not in the case of Dam. Once Dam goes on the floor, let's say it went from the neck of the animal and it spurted out and fell on the floor, and the coin was not makabel the Dam in a kos, in a mizrak, in a clay shares, then that dam becomes possible. So what's the status of lachmei toda after shechita without zrika? The answer is, the shechita itself engenders kedusha saguf. Keman kerebi, the omar rebi, shnei dvar mamatirim, malim zebelo ze. When you need two different actions, in this case you need both shechita and zrika, in order to be matir the lechem, then Malin, as far as the Kedushas HaGuf is concerned, Zeh b'lo Zeh, the first one of these two Matirim is enough to engender Kedushas HaGuf and make it impossible, in this case of Lachmei Toda, after the Shechita, to be Podeh, the Lachmei Toda, because it's now upgraded to the status of Kedushas HaGuf. Tisanya, we learned in a Braisa. Now this Braisa is going to quote Rebbe in a slightly different context of Kivsei Atzeres. This is the special Shalmei Tzibur that is brought only on one occasion during the entire year, that's on Chag HaShavuos, and it's accompanied by Shtei Alechem, the famous Shtei Alechem of Chag HaShavuos. And we're going to see from Rebbe here and make an analogy to Rebbe in the case of Lachmei Todo, although now we're talking about Shtei Alechem of Kivsei Atzeres on Chag HaShavuos. And the Braisa says that Kivsei Atzeres ein mekadshinus alechem ela b'shechita, that the Shtei Alechem only becomes sanctified with Shechita, the Shechita of the Kivsei Atzeres. Now, in between Shechita and Zrikas Hadam, the status of the lot of the Shtei Lechamim is that of Kedushas HaGuf. In order to be matir the lechamim be'achila, the shtei lechem, you need zrikas hadam. Ketzad, shchotom lishman, if he shechted the kivsei atzeres lishman, meaning for the sake of shalmei tzibur, v'zark es domam lishman, everything was done kedasu kedin, both the shechita and the zrika was done l'shem shalmei tzibur, kidei shal lechem. Now the lechem reaches its ultimate level of kedusha, and you're allowed to eat the lechem. Shechatam shalolishman v'zark es domen shalolishman lo kiddush alechem. In a case where the shechita was an improper shechita, wasn't done with the proper lishma, so the kohen had an improper kavana, and the Mishnah says at the beginning of Zvachim, with regard to a carbon that was shechted shalolishma, is eno ola l'shem chova. The bialim have to replace the carbon. So in such a case where the bialim would have to replace the carbon, there's no kiddush halechem. But shchatam lishman v'zarek domen shalo lishman, what happens if you have a valid shchita lishma, but you don't have a valid zrika? So we're in that middle stage between shchita and zrika. Lechem kadosh v'eino kadosh, divrei Rebbe. It has and has been sanctified with kiddush saguf, but eino kadosh, we cannot be matir b'achila because we don't have a proper zrika. And that's the opinion of Rebbe. Rabbi Lozber Shimon Omer, liolam eino kadosh alechem at sheyishchot lishman v'yizrok domen lishman. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is not going to be machalik between one matir and the other. It's a package deal, all or nothing. Either you have both matirim to be makadosh alechem, or you have zero. And in this case, that there was no zrika lishma, therefore, there's no kiddush alechem. But according to Rebbe, there's kiddush alechem. Now, we need the zrika to be matir, the achila, but there's no zrika because it was done l'shalo l'shman. And what's the status now of the lechem? Nothing you can do about it. It's got kiddush haguf. It doesn't lend itself to pidgin because there's no pidgin on kiddushas haguf. On the other hand, you cannot eat it because there was no zrika to be matir the achil. And the Gemara says that the same thing applies to lachmi toda, that according to Rebbe, shchita of the zevach of the toda is enough to engender a kedusha asaguf in the lachmi toda, and now it doesn't lend itself to pigeon. You can't redeem it. And that's Rav Yanai, who says that these are shtei lachmi toda that are going to be placed on the itzdeba. And why is that? Because although the toda was shechted, but there was no zrikas adam. So there was kedusha asaguf, but there's no takana yidei pigeon. So what are you going to do with these lachmi toda? You don't have the option neither of pigeon nor of achila. So we're going to use them for this flag on top of the itzdeba. The Gemara rejects it. Afilu tema Rabbi Elazar b'Rab Shimon. Even if Rabbi Yanai would want to work out, he want to be reconciled with Rabbi Elazar, which we could do so. Hachamai eskina go niskabel adam b'kos, and afterwards v'nishpach. Even Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon agrees, he concedes, that you don't need the actual zrika in order to engender Kedush Saguf in the Lachmei Todor, in the case of Shtei Alechem in Kivsei Atzeres. All you need is what's called Kabbalah Sadam. Right? The first of the Avodos is Shchita. The second is Kabbalah Sadam. Once it's Kabbalah Sadam, then since the dam now is royal Zrika, it now has been sanctified in a Kli Sharis, the next stage is just Holoch and Zrika, is therefore, immediately with the Kabbalah Sadam in a Kos, the Lachmei Toda have been sanctified and upgraded to the level of Kedusha Saguf, and now, if Nishbach, if the Kos spills, and there's no possibility of implementing the Zrika, we have that very strange status of the Lachmei Toda, it's Nishtaher and Nishtahin, you cannot eat it because it was no Zrika, it was Nishbach. You cannot be Poda it because it was Niskadish B'Kedush Saguf as a result of Kabbalah Sadam because. Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon Sovela Kavua Diyamakala Omid Lizro Kizarek Domi. There's a principle called Kizarek Domi. So again, once there's Kabbalah Sadam, and the dam itself is omed lizrika, it's royal lizrika al gabi mizbeach, then it's as if it was already post-zrika, as far as the halach of kiddush alechem, with kiddush asaguf to make it impossible to be podit, and once it was nishpach adam, then what are you going to do with it? There's no possibility. You can't eat it. As we said before, we need the zrika to be matir achila. It has kiddush asaguf because of kabbalah because, and therefore, it precludes the possibility of pigeon. You know what we're going to do with it? We're going to put it up on the roof of the itzdeba. Tana mishum Rabbi Elazar omru. Rabbi Elazar has a whole different approach to what they put the lachmi toda on the itzdeba. Ksheros hayu. You are allowed to eat the lachmi toda. The kol zman shemunachos kol ha'am ochlin nitla achas mehem lo ochlin velo sarfin. Nitlu shtem hischilu kulon sarfon. So Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that they were makriv the carbon toda on Yudalit b'Nisan. Otherwise, it would be posel in Lina. And he says, Rabbi Lazar, like Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah, that Trumas Chometz is going to be eaten during the fifth hour. And the same applies to Kodshim. Just like Rabbi Gamliel was very inhibited about burning Trumas Chametz in the fifth hour, he wanted to delay it as much as possible, because also li'abe Truma, Nishmeres, the same thing applies to Kodshim. And therefore, this Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar, wanted to delay the destruction of Kodshim, and therefore he has tolin. He has during the fifth hour tolin, which means we are allowed to feed it to our dog. We're allowed to this, but that's because in case of kodshim, we're going to delay the sreifa of kodshim. Tanya Abishol Omer. Here we'll finish up on Daf Yudalit Omer Aleph. Shtei Poros, this was another possible way of notifying the people and setting the sign out that they are not allowed to eat chometz. There were shtei poros, hayu chorshos behara mishcha. Hara mishcha is hara zeisim. like Mishcha from the oil of Harazesim. So on Erev Pesach, they had these paros that were plowing on Harazesim. And it really wasn't Harisha, because we hold that we don't do Malacha on Erev Pesach. That's our minog. But it looked like Harisha. And Kolzman Shehen Shtei Enchroshes, when both of the animals, these cows, were plowing Kola Amochlin, they understood they were allowed to eat chametz. Nitlachas Mihen, when one of the cows was taken away, and they knew it was the fifth hour, is Tolin Lo Ochlin Lo Sorfin, which means that they're not allowed to eat chametz, but they're allowed to have hanah from chametz. Nitlu Shteim, when both paros were taken away, then they knew it was the sixth hour, v'schilu kol ha'am sarfin, and now they have to burn their chametz. We said that according to Rabbi Lazar, the lachmei todah ksheros, and the question is, if they brought the todah on the 13th, because we said before you're not allowed to bring it on the 14th, then how could the lachmei todah be kosher, be ksherim on the 14th? There's a psul of lina. It must be that Rabbi Lazar holds that you're allowed to bring a carbon todah on the 14th. Now, he adds the following here in a note, and with this we'll conclude the daf for today. He says, Od yesh lefarish she'ovad hazevach shel chalos elu v'lo niskadshu b'kedushas haguf. So there's no zevach and there's no kedushas haguf. Oyem utaris b'achila al yedei pidjon. In other words, all you have is the Akdosha of the Lachmei Todah, which generates a Kedushas Domim and lends itself to Pidjon. Ulefi Zetzarch Lomar, Sha'afli Acher Sheniftu V'yotzu L'chulin, Harei Necholos Kol Chamesh Kedin Truma V'kodshim. So why are we allowed to eat these Lachmei Todah during the fifth hour if it's after Pidjon, the Chulin Gmurin, it's Chamesh Shalchulin, which is also Bachila during the fifth hour? And the answer is, Mishum Shedmeim Noflim LeHegdesh. Since the monies that we use to redeem these Lachmei Todah are given to Hegdesh, the Yesh L'Gavoa Revach Beheter Achiloson, that if we, through the process of Pidjon, we allow the Achila, and now the monies are accrued to Hegdesh, they gain something, and therefore they have a certain status of Kodshim, which allows you to eat them during the fifth hour. And Trumas Chametz Nachelos Kol Chamish Vuadin Likodshim. And this leads us to the Mishnah of Rab Chanina Skan Kohenim, which in Mitzvah Hashem will be our next great challenge. And it takes us till the end of the first perek, till Daf Chaf Aleph.